Welcome to the David Matto Lifestyle Show. This is the show that teaches you how to become stronger, thinner, healthier, happier, and much more. Now, here's your host, Dr. David Matto.
Hey, it's Dr. Dave, and welcome back to the David Matto Lifestyle Show. This is the show where I help you live stronger, thinner, healthier, and happier. Actually, a lot more than that. I've got a great show for you today. Don't go anywhere. I just want to remind you, if you have not yet signed up for my VIP list, it's really easy. It's all free. See, there's certain things that I just simply don't talk about on my podcast, believe it or not, or on my Periscope broadcasts or on Facebook. There's certain things I just kind of hold back on. Not a lot, but certain things I hold back on. And if you're on my VIP list, you'll be privy to getting some communications from me via email that we talk about. Oh, well, whatever we want, whatever we want. So make sure you're on that list. It's really simple. And as I said, it's free. Just go to davidmaddow.com, DavidMaddow.com. On the right-hand side of my homepage, it's I can't remember exactly what it says, but it says something like sign up for my VIP list. It's close enough. You'll get it. And you just put your name in there, your email address, and you click submit and wham, you're in. You will be on my very special list. So make sure you do that. But before you do that, make a note of that because I want you to do it right after you listen to this show. But before, I want to go ahead and I've got a guest with me today. Now, I know most of my episodes, it's me. You hear me talking the whole time, and we talk about great stuff, and I help your lifestyle out. But when I find somebody really special, I invite them to be on my show. And today, my guest, I want to put her in the extremely special category. I will go as far as saying you've heard her voice. And you've probably heard her voice. I'm going to say more people on the planet have heard her voice than have heard Oprah, President Obama. Think of somebody really, really famous, and I'm going to guarantee that more people have heard my guest's voice today than these really super famous people. And not only that, I'm going to say she may have been in your house. Yeah, it's true. My guest today may have been in your house. You may have heard her actually speaking in your house. Well, I'm going to just bring her in. Let's just bring her in. Her name is Karen. And Karen, welcome to the show.
At the next intersection, turn left, continue straight ahead, and reach your destination.
That's it. You've heard her. Her name is Karen Jacobson. She is the voice in, I'm going to ask her this question, but I think in millions of GPS units all over the planet, as well as Siri. So there's a very good chance Karen has been in your car, in your house, somewhere. Welcome, Karen. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing well. You know, recalculating one step at a time. I think it's 400 million GPS and smartphone devices and elevators in different places around the world. So a bazillion.
So a bazillion. So chances are my listeners today have already heard your voice. You've been with them in their car, in their house, in an elevator, in their smartphone device, their iPhone, whatever it may be. So they probably are going to feel like they already know you. You've been giving them directions. You've been telling them what to do for many years now, and you've been asking them to recalculate.
That's right. I've been telling them where to go and what to do, that's a lot of fun, right?
I think it's a blast. Now, tell us real briefly, Karen, how did you get the gig? I mean, there are billions of people on this planet. How did you get the gig to be the voice of GPS, Siri, in elevators, things like that? What did you do?
Well, I'm originally from Australia, from a town called Mackay, and I moved to New York City. And I'd done, you know, voiceovers. I'm a singer-songwriter by trade. And this client was looking for a native Australian female voiceover artist living in the northeast of the United States. And it was an audition. I went to the audition, and I ended up getting the job and recorded for almost 50 hours to create the voice system that's ended up in all those devices. So, you know, a completely unexpected development in my singing and songwriting career.
Well, I've got a million questions I could ask you about that. Like, I've always wondered, and we don't have enough time for all these questions I've got about the actual recording into the GPS, but I've always wondered, like, do you have to say every street name in the world? Like, do they give you a list of like a billion street names and you have to just go from number one to number 1 billion? Or I guess there's like computer ways of them. I've got a million questions, but we're not going to talk about that now. I want to know that another time, and I'll have you back. But the thing I want to talk about today is actually, you know, when you're in your car and you have the GPS on and it's telling you where to turn and you miss the turn, and all of a sudden you come on and you very politely say, recalculating. And whenever I used to hear that recalculating thing, I thought, like, I'm an idiot. Like, I messed up, and this woman on the GPS is being very polite. She's not saying, Dave, you're an idiot, you missed the turn. She's just saying, recalculating. And I think we all recalculate in our lives, not only driving, but many things we do in our lives, right?
Right. And I think that's the thing. I think we are actually recalculating all day, every day. And it's something that I really talk a lot about, is being able to do that at a moment's notice, being able to find another way to course correct in our daily life and in business, you know, with whatever happens, because things do not go as planned more of the time than not. And, you know, the human reaction is often to get upset and to get stuck. So recalculating is really a way of life that you can become more and more proficient at, so that you can limit the amount of time feeling stuck or negative when things don't go well.
And it's not only if you miss a turn, if you do something wrong in a particular day, but I've actually been sharing with my listeners for the past 3 years on my show here, the David Matter Lifestyle Show. I've been sharing with them, hey, look, if you're in a job, some type of work, profession that you don't love, and you've tried everything possible to make it better and adapt, maybe you have a horrible boss and it's just not working, and you get in your car every morning, or you get on the bus or the train or however you get to work, and you are just not loving what you're doing. Now, I never used that word recalculate before, but I said, hey, you've got to make a change. You cannot stay in the same thing for your life. You can't do that. And not only that, but in a relationship. I mean, I'm not a proponent of divorce. Divorce is ugly. It's not fun. I've been through one. It's not a good thing. But however, I tell my listeners that if you're in a relationship and you've done everything you can, you've gone to counseling, you've communicated with your partner, and it's just not working, you need to recalculate. You need to make a change somehow.
Right. And you know, I think one of the hardest things for people to come to terms with is that they are completely responsible. Yes, I'm using the R word, completely responsible for the outcomes. If you are willing to become completely responsible for the way your life is, that's when you can do something about it. And even when it's not good news, even when it's, you know, messy everywhere, to be able to go, okay, I'm at the source of this, can give us a tremendous amount of power, even though it doesn't necessarily feel good in the short term. But to be able to say, okay, I created this. If I can create this, I can create something way better.
Yes, that's right. You're exactly right. Everything that we've done in our lives, whether it's good or bad, we are the ones that created it. That's exactly right. And I think people, including myself, I was afraid to make a change, to recalculate, because I was kind of afraid to try to see what's on the other side. You know,
right.
You know, even if we're in a bad situation, a bad job, a bad marriage, at least we know what we have, and maybe it's not good, but we're afraid of the unknown.
Right.
But sometimes we need to just jump into that unknown, because normally the unknown is going to be a lot better than staying in something that you know you need to recalculate.
Absolutely. And you know, often we will wait until we hit rock bottom. Guys, don't wait to hit rock bottom. If you know it's not working and you really are clear that there are changes to be made, have the you know, the presence of mind to start making at least small adjustments and changes and bring in some new energy before things get so dire. Because, you know, I think, David, what happens is we start to think life is happening to us rather than remembering that we can have something to do with it.
Well, Karen, that's a really good point. But don't you think for many people out there that life just does happen to them, and they're not proactive enough to say, hey, I totally have the power to change this. I can do anything I want. Now, I may not know exactly what the outcome's going to be, but it's probably going to be better than it is right now. I've totally got the power, but people are just afraid. They're just worried, but they don't realize that they're totally in the driver's seat. They're able to do the recalculating.
I think there are two pieces. And I think one of those pieces is that sometimes it's fear, absolutely. The other piece is I really don't think a lot of people know what's possible. I know I didn't. I didn't realize what was possible. I didn't realize that I could create and design my life and aspects of my life to be the way I wanted them to be. I would look at people who had incredible lives and I would, have dreamed of having a life like them, but I thought they got lucky. I didn't realize that there was massive action over a period of time. There was intention. There were decisions made to create those kinds of outcomes and that kind of life. And one thing from all of the reading, and I'm sure you read as voraciously as I do about personal and professional development, because, we've already discovered hashtag vegan twins or vegan siblings.
right. Which we'll talk about. We'll talk about
right,
that too.
Is that, the people who are extremely successful, it's not an accident. It's absolutely been intentional. It's been designed that way, and they have had a goal, a focus, outcomes they wanted to accomplish, and taken massive action toward them. It is so easy to look from the outside in and go, oh, they were lucky, but it isn't how it goes.
I wonder if there's also a third component, and that might be people are just really concerned about what others think. And maybe people are trying to live this life, and then they make it look like their lives are so good. It's so easy on Facebook these days and on social media to put only your best pictures up and to put only the good stories and show your vacations. But it's not so easy for people to show others that, hey, my life oftentimes really sucks. And so they're afraid to show people that. So they're afraid to maybe make a change because they don't want people to know they're in a horrible situation to begin with. But I'm going to beg my listeners, please, I've told you this for the past 3 years, trust me and trust Karen, if you know in your heart if you need to make a change, now we're going to call it recalculate, if you need to recalculate, please have the guts to do it, because I'm telling you, I've been through many recalculations and I have not been through one that turned out worse. All my recalculations have turned out so much.
Oh, I love that. And it's
seriously
true, isn't it?
Oh my God, I've never. I mean, look, I had a change in my work, change in profession, change in marriage about 15 years ago, change in my lifestyle/diet, which I want to talk to you about for a couple seconds too. But going vegan, I mean, look, it could have been horrible, but I will never go back. It's the best thing I ever did in my life. I will never eat another animal product.
Tell me about it.
It's, Karen, so you recalculated how long ago when you became vegan? How long have you been?
3 years.
So I tell you something. We're definitely siblings from another mother that we didn't even because we're so close in that regard. Also, very very close there too. I mean, what made you do that recalculation? And would you ever go back?
Never going back. And it's interesting because, my husband and I both went vegan at the same time. And around that time, we were March 3 years ago, we were watching documentaries. We love Netflix, so we were watching food documentaries. And we watched six food and, food industry documentaries in a week, like one every night. We were binge watching these amazing movies. Right. And by about the third movie, my husband turned to me and he said, "Shall we give this a go?" And I said, "What? Be vegan?" And he said, "Yeah, what do we got to lose?" I'm like, okay. The thing is, in the past, I'd been vegetarian for a number of years. My husband had actually been vegan for 14 years before we had met. So, but at that point, we were eating not very much meat, but a little bit of everything, you know. And when he said, "Shall we try this?" I just thought, "Wow, how the heck are we going to do it? What will we, you know, what will be that favorite question of people? What do you eat?" Well, so we decided to do a challenge, like it for ourselves. No one was asking us to do this challenge. We just decided we would try eating vegan for a whole week. And when my husband and I do this kind of challenge in our lives, which we've done with a number of different things over time, we go the whole way with these things. We like to really commit. It's not about doing it perfectly, of course, but it's about committing and keeping your word to yourself. So we set out to be vegan for a week, and we were. And gosh, it was fascinating and eye-opening, and we live really close to one of the best natural supermarkets in all of Manhattan, which is very fortunate. We're two blocks away, and we were already eating a lot of things that were vegan, whole food, plant-based. And so on the Sunday, on the seventh day, my husband said, "So, honey, do you want eggs for breakfast? Because our, you know, where our week was up."
Right.
And I used to love eggs, and I was, you know, I'm nostalgic about eggs. I'll never eat eggs again, but I, you know, that was a very useful, enjoyable part of my diet at one time. He said, "Do you want eggs?" And I said, "You know, I really don't." And that's how the second week began. And then we decided we'd make it a month challenge. And then we really liked it. And a 90-day challenge, and we've never looked back. And it's been, you know, from, you know, the incredible changes in how we feel, and, you know, digestion being amazing. And the one that amazes me the most is my clarity of thinking has gone off the charts in a whole new way from making that change. And did you have that same experience?
I did. And our stories are amazingly similar. It's very, very scary. My wife and I were watching, probably very similar documentaries, listening to podcasts, watching videos. We also have a yoga instructor who's a very good friend of ours, Sandy, who would come over every Monday and we do a yoga class with her, and she would it's kind of a weird story. I've told my listeners this already, but I'll share with you, and you can hear this a million times, so it's okay. So sorry, listeners. My wife and I used to have like a little dinner after yoga class, and Sandy would hang with us, and Sandy, being vegan, would be eating her veggies, and we'd have chicken on the table, and she'd be very nice about it, and she would never give us dirty looks. But over, you know, many weeks and probably many months, she would just kind of share books with us. She brought us a copy of Main Street Vegan, and so we got to a point where my wife and I were watching one documentary one evening or something, and we looked at each other, and I think it was like your husband said this to you. I think I'm the one that said it to my wife also. I said, "Hey, I've had enough. Let's give up animal products. Let's not eat anymore." And she totally agreed with me. And from that point on, now I remember we were actually starting a trip down the Pacific Coast Highway. So we were like in Northern California. We had all these reservations at restaurants, and we said, "Forget it. We're just going to eat on either in our hotel room or on the deck or wherever." And it was like the best trip we ever had. I'll never forget that recalculation of going vegan on that trip. It was so our stories are pretty similar, and no turning back ever.
No, and it's I didn't realize what a statement it is to choose to eat that way until time. You know, the first year was getting used to it, getting more of a repertoire of meals, learning what my snacks were, my go-tos, all of those kinds of things. And over time, though, I've become even more, I suppose, educated, conscious. I really think about the you know, the materials that different things in our house are made of. I'm not doing everything perfectly, but I'm certainly much more conscious about it. And I really, you know, certainly after seeing Cowspiracy not that long ago, we are on a road to ruin if the majority of the planet doesn't drop animal products in a shorter time frame.
There's no question about that. It's very scary. Well, what a great story that is. I was going to ask you real quickly, Karen, because we're getting close to time. But do you have any other? I suspect we all do. But other than going vegan, any other like very serious recalculations that you made in your life that you want to share, that you can share, that would help our people out?
Well, leaving Australia and moving to New York on my own with a suitcase and my dream of being like Olivia Newton-John would definitely be a major recalculation and took me to all kinds of emotional places. But, you know, I think it's nice to talk about right now when recalculating is happening right now. And can I share a little bit about right now?
Oh, absolutely. Please, please.
So we live in a beautiful place in New York City, and there was some water damage. So they are, you know, all of our floorboards are being replaced in our apartment. But what that involves is actually packing everything in our apartment and moving us to a hotel while they get that done. And that's actually happening while I'm talking to you right now in my home. And, you know, you think you have things worked out in a certain way, but what's been really tremendously interesting is this period of time, this kind of August, September of this year, I've been looking toward, because my husband is going to celebrate a milestone birthday. And so I've been planning a mid-September party for him, you know, for a year, because it's an exciting time for us. So meanwhile, this happens, and it's like everything is up in the air, David. That happened. And then my husband is a production manager with touring music artists, and he has been on hold for this particular tour in China, a two-week tour with somebody, you know, somebody fabulous and very well known and successful. But it's been on again, off again since July 22nd. One day it's on, and the next day it's never going to happen. And like, as of this week, it's on, and he's now actually arranging visas for everybody, get it like really happening right across when the party is supposed to be. And I then got a note for jury duty, which starts next Monday. It's like all of these different things at once. So we're going to be out of our own apartment. My husband won't even be here for his birthday. The party's going to have to be totally recalculated and at another time. I'm going to be doing jury duty. It's like things are just totally up in the air, and we are not quite sure of our next move, but we know that we have to do a reasonable amount of deep breathing, because I got to tell you, that's a lot of change.
I have a feeling, though, Karen, whatever life throws at you, you are totally able to recalculate. After all, you've said it enough times into the GPS unit. And I just have a feeling you're probably an expert, and you can do it. I've got total confidence in you.
I will agree that that's true. But what is very interesting from this experience is how it is being so many things that could send you off kilter at once. I'm actually realizing it is almost like a little recalculating test. The universe is sending me to say, all right, you're going to go and talk about how to navigate change. Here you go.
In a minute or less, help our listeners. And I've got a lot of people out there listening, actually from all over the world. I know several in Australia offhand that are listening. Good day, mate. That was bad. Sorry. that was horrible. My son does a great Australian accent, but I can't really. He can do any kind of accent, really. But anyway, that's a little bit off topic. Anybody that's listening, and let's face it, we all have something going on in our lives. No matter how many times we recalculate, we've all got stuff going on, stuff in quotes. In 60 seconds or less, help my listeners that are out there that know they need to recalculate, they've got something going on, help them out. What can they do?
Perfect. So it takes courage to recalculate. It takes courage to take action in an uncomfortable way. I am here to tell you that it is never too late to recalculate. If you remember nothing else from this 20-minute chat, remember it is never too late to recalculate. There's always another action you can take, even when life is dire and seems dire. There's always something you can do to make yourself feel just that little bit better. So that's my 60-second or less bottom line of it, is really it takes courage. Ask people for help. Pick up the phone and share with a friend. You know, it's normal. Everybody is recalculating all the time. Most people are not out about that, and it is never too late to recalculate.
Karen, that was super. And I, the time just goes so fast. I'm going to give you an open invitation. If you ever want to come back on the show, I'd love to have you back, because I have a feeling you and I could just talk forever on this topic.
Love it. I will absolutely take you up on that.
I really hope you do. But for now, I tell you, I'm going to give you the last word.
You have reached your destination.
Thank you. thanks for listening to the David Matto Lifestyle Show. Please be sure to join us again next week. And remember, you are no longer alone.